You'll be rolling out your second budget in a couple of weeks. What will your priorities be in your second spending plan?
I expect you'll see more of the same. You know, more on jobs and the economy, making Rhode Island a more attractive place to do business, making sure that employers have access to the highly skilled workforce that they need, making our business climate more predictable, and all the while making sure that Rhode Island is a place of opportunity for everybody, that nobody is left out, meaning the most vulnerable or folks that sometimes can fall through the cracks.
One of Rhode Island's big stories in 2015 was former House Speaker Gordon Fox's guilty plea to corruption charges. Do you believe any changes or new steps are needed to discourage corruption?
You know, we're always looking at it. As I've said before, that was a terrible thing that Speaker Fox did. Unfortunately, in that instance, there were laws. He just broke the law. So that doesn't mean we can't be doing more. And as relates to transparency, you know, I'm always looking to do more. At the end of the day, what happened there was so tragic because he just blatantly violated the law.
Medicaid spending consumes a large portion of the budget in Rhode Island. You've branded your overhaul effort as reinventing Medicaid. Is that effort being successful?
It is. It is being successful. Again, it's a challenge. And by the way, this is a challenge every state faces. You know, in the era of Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, we are providing health insurance to many, many more people. And the challenge is to increase access, but also bring down cost. Here's the good news. The good news is 95% of Rhode Islanders have health insurance. You know, that's a great thing. 97% of children are insured. We have, by and large, reached universal coverage. Now, the challenge is how to provide for more people, but also control cost. And that's exactly what reinventing Medicaid is designed to do.
So what would you point to as evidence that your approach is succeeding?
We are seeing the cost savings. You know, I believe that at the end of this year, when we get to the end of the fiscal year, we're going to hit our number. So we're going to produce $70, $80 million of savings while at the same time vastly expanding the number of people who receive Medicaid. So we're achieving the bring down the cost, increase the number of people affected, and we are tilting the system towards lower cost settings. So again, it's early going. What we're talking about here is healthcare system transformation and trying to lead the country in doing that. But I would say, so therefore it's not without its challenges, but I would say 6 months into it, it seems to be working.
There are some fresh signs of financial problems in the city of Providence. Are there any steps that you're planning to take to help shore up the city's finances?
Well, we are watching it closely. And in fact, I meet with the mayor regularly to ask how the state can be supportive. At the end of the day, every mayor, every governor, every city council and general assembly in this economy does have difficult choices to make. That goes for Providence. The only way to deal with the fiscal issues there is to start tackling them, whether that be healthcare expenses or pension expenses or legacy expenses. Unfortunately, that is just the challenging work that has to happen, and there is no silver bullet or bucket of money from the state. There is support from the state, and there will continue to be support from the state. I will work collaboratively to help the mayor, but the only way out of fiscal troubles is to make those tough decisions. And I think the mayor knows that and is trying to do that.
Would you ever see yourself supporting a bankruptcy filing for the city of Providence?
No, the city of Providence is far from that. And So furthermore, I don't see that as the right option, given what I know about the city's situation.
You were criticized this year for the hiring of Don Lally 4 months after he had left as a state rep. Critics saw that as a possible violation of the state's revolving door regulation. Are there examples that you could cite of what Don Lally is doing with the Department of Business regulation that justify his employment?
Yes, he's doing what he was hired to do, which is being kind of an ombudsman for businesses, which is to say helping businesses deal more quickly with regulations, deal more quickly with cutting through red tape. And that is, I have to say, something I hear from businesses regularly, which is, you know, Governor, we don't mind paying our fair share of taxes, but it's the red tape on the confusing regulations that slow us down. So that's why that has been a priority of mine and my head of DBR to provide kind of a hand-holding function to cut through that red tape.
As a candidate, you supported giving driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants. When and how will you do that?
We're looking at it right now. I still support it. I see it as a public safety issue. As I've said many times, I want every driver on the road in Rhode Island to be driving with a license and with insurance, because that makes it safer for everyone. I know certainly if someone in my family were to get into an accident, I'd like to know that the person in the accident had a license and had insurance. So we're working on it. In fact, I have my team trying to figure out the best options right now, looking at other states. Many of the states have already done this. We're going to see what's the right way to do it.
Is there a model in another state that you see as making the most sense?
I think most other states, from what I can tell, have taken a legislative path to enable licenses for undocumented immigrants. Then the question would be, what other strings would be attached? How long would the person have had to show residency in the state? How long would the person have had to show that they've paid taxes in the state? So those are the things we're trying to get a handle on. And some states have done it for years now, so we want to look at what has been the actual experience.
What are you doing to try to keep the paw socks in Rhode Island?
You know, I don't think the paw socks are going to leave Rhode Island, which is delights me to no end, because the paw socks belong in Rhode Island, and I hope they stay here. I think they will stay here, and all signs suggest to me that they will.
What do you consider your greatest success during your first year in office?
Certainly the reinventing Medicaid work was difficult, and I have to thank the General Assembly for their cooperation in that. That's something that fundamentally changes the fiscal situation for Rhode Island for decades to come and allows us to provide good care at a lower cost. We also were able to finalize the pension deal. All the lawsuits went away. We banked $400 million of savings. And we are finally, once again, have a very active, proactive economic development operation that I am confident is really going to change Rhode Island for years to come. So there is no one thing. But we're on the right path. I'm grateful to the legislative leadership for being partners in this. We're on the same team. We got to get things done for the people of Rhode Island.
How about your greatest frustration from your first year in office?
Greatest frustration? You know, the frustration is always you wish you could do more. There is so much to do. You wish you could do more, but we're just going to stay at it. We're going to stay at it. And I'm very pleased that I'm starting to hear often from people that they see signs of progress. I talk to these business owners fairly regularly saying, we see the difference, Governor. We see a sense of urgency. We see a government that is much more proactive and pro-business. So that's what we have to build upon. It's not enough. It's not enough. We have to see more results, and we have to see more jobs, we have to see more activity, and we have to see our schools better. But I feel like we're on the right path. We're doing what we said we would do. And we just have to keep going.
Governor Gina Raimondo, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thanks, Ian. Happy holidays.